Absolutely.
Why not? Let's have some fun.
So we are live. So, okay, first, let me just share with you. So I have a book that came out, and the first chapter is about Leah, who is the community manager on Chatter Social. And, like, we all love Leah. Leah's just an amazing woman. So, okay, and the story talks about Nelson, the founder, and all of that. But I'm telling you this because I decided for the second book, we're going to be going to PodFest. And I met you through PodMatch. And PodMatch is such a brilliant program, right?
It is. It's totally amazing. It's totally
so
amazing.
So I was thinking, I love it so much too. And as a host, it's so incredible. So I was thinking, what can I do? What can I do for the second book? And I thought, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to do 15 guests and I'm going to interview them. I'm going to do it live on Chatter Social because I want to grow Chatter. And then I'm going to have it be Alex will be an interview. And then the books will be just full with 15 chapters from PodMatch guests. And then I thought, well, I got to do this quickly because PodFest is like around the corner. January is almost here, just in case anyone is thinking you have time, you don't. So then what I'm going to do is, so I'm dropping them very quickly. So don't be surprised if this will drop in about 7 days from now, which wow. I'm really excited. So I know. And this is cool because luckily how like the spirits have me, they've made sure that each of the guests are something different. So it's not like I have a, you know, like 15 and they're all like leadership or something like that. Everyone's different and unique. But anyways, you are beautiful and welcome. So we're live. I don't know anything about you. I just got your... You're bold. You're beautiful. You're not bald, which is not a problem. But for men, I love going brave, bold, and bald. But anyways, that's my own path. So, oh my gosh. So tell us, first of all, who are you?
Oh my goodness. Well, you know what? That's such an amazing question because that's been a question I've been following all my life. So my name is Alexandra Chejo and I am the astrologer royale. And answering that question of who am I has actually been a bit of a lifelong journey. And so my own studies in astrology really came from that question itself. And so I'm a professional astrologer, I'm an educator, and I work with esoteric and hermetic principles to strategize and support entrepreneurs and business owners and professionals, particularly in the legal, health, and STEM areas, actually. And so I have been working with astrology for about 20 years now. I started an individual practice. And as I started working with entrepreneurs, they kept asking me questions and how astrology could support their business. And so I ended up naturally transitioning over into using forecasting and working with the natal chart to help entrepreneurs and professionals understand their gifts and the skill sets that they bring to the table so that they can maximize their success and also mitigate and minimize the amount of stress that they go through. Because I truly believe that everyone should love their life. And if we put our gifts forward first and we play to our strengths, we can absolutely achieve that. And I am so honored to be here with you, Adrienne. I've really been looking forward to this.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I would say I have been, but I don't know who my guests are. So I don't know, but I'm so excited right now. Okay, so let's go over the first two terms. So you hermetic, which is one word. I got it. So tell me about what does hermetic mean?
Oh, that was so funny when you were telling me earlier that you split it into two, because yes, hermetic can absolutely belong to a woman too. But hermetic actually refers to the teachings of Hermes Trismegistus. And Hermes Trismegistus was actually the very first astrologer on the planet. And so Trismegistus means thrice blessed or three times blessed, because he was the one who brought astrology, alchemy, and theurgy, which is basically prayer magic, to the planet and to humans. And if you go into some of the oldest astrological books, they actually sing praises to Hermes and thank him for bringing those teachings because it brought deeper awareness of the divine nature of human state and also gave the ability to understand the cycles that the planet goes through, both in terms of nature, as well as in terms of human behavior. And so,
keep going, please.
What I was going to say is that the teachings of Hermes are meant to lead us to a higher state, to embody the divine within us. And so, like, if you think of the term hermetic seal, like when a jar has a hermetic lid, that means that whatever is inside of it can retain its purity. And so hermetic teachings are all about going back to the purity within yourself because you are a divine being.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay. Before we continue, can you help me say the last name? I want to just say Hermes. I want to say it, but I have to hear you say it. And then I want to just practice for a second.
Yeah. Hermes Trismegistus.
One more time.
Trismegistus.
Trismegistus.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah. I have a weird way with words. All right. So interesting. Oh my gosh. I have to say, this is so, okay, fascinating. And then the second, you had said two.
Oh my goodness. So esoteric philosophies. Yes. And so esoteric philosophies and esoteric principles come from basically Hermes' teachings. And the difference between hermetic and esoteric is that esoteric is primarily experienced. And so, for example, often esoteric principles delve into things like your chakra system and your aura, right? And so these are all things that you can experience, whereas hermetic philosophy is based on what we could call logical teachings.
Wow. Okay. Now let's go back to, I can't go back to the beginning, but when I was okay. So this has always fascinated me, even as a young girl, when all you really heard about, I'm a Cancer, by the way.
Love it.
The paper would have your horoscope, right? And I would cut them out and then I would put them out and I would read it. And I almost remember thinking, this is kind of a little form of therapy for me, like helping me to understand my day. Is that kind of,
that's,
can you see me, by the way? Are you able to see me?
I can't see you right now, but
oh, I want to make sure that
I can feel your energy as you speak.
I am just so fast. Okay. Let me come up with you. Let me just change this. Cause I want to,
there we go. Now I can see you.
Okay. So fascinating. I'm a believer in all of this. So, all right, first let's go to when it was just a horoscope and some people, if we had a room of 100 people, how many would be like, oh, I believe in astrology, and how many would say, oh, it's silliness.
So you'd be surprised. A lot more people believe in astrology than you would think. So if I was to give it an estimate, I'd probably say it's somewhere close to 85% of people in the room would believe in astrology. Now, they'd be quiet about it. So 50% would be on board and be like, yes, I'm a Cancer, I'm a Gemini, I'm this, and they'll parade it for you. And then there's this quiet 35%. And they're usually the intellectual, soulful people who are more philosophical in nature, but don't necessarily like to express. And that's the quiet 35% that will just kind of listen. And you know that they resonate based on the questions that they ask or based on how much absorption they have when you talk about it. And so, like I mentioned to you, I frequently work with people in the health, legal, and STEM fields. And so you would think that these are super intellectual, super logical people. And yet at the same time, there is also that part of them that is searching too. And so just because you work in a logical field or you're a logical person doesn't mean that you don't have spirit and that you're not seeking for deeper answers.
Oh, I love it. Your eyes are so pretty, by the way. What color are they? Blue?
Sometimes they're gray.
Oh, they do change. I love that. So there is a woman on the app, Danielle. It's Debbie. Debbie is on the app. And the more I hear Debbie speak, the more I'm like, wow, I align. Like, we have the same values, the same thoughts, the same, like, just structure. And one day it came out, she's like, oh, I'm a Cancer. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense. I'm a Cancer too. So how, why is it? Like, it's so fascinating to me that there's a set of personality, right, around an sign. And yet, honestly, I don't even know what that means, except I love reading about Cancers and do Cancers get along with Geminis and all that, but I don't really understand. So can you explain, like, really, like, kind of a little deeper, what does it really mean when I say, oh, we're both Cancers?
Yeah. So I need to take a step back a little bit.
Okay.
To, I guess you could say, coming onto this planet, right? Because when we are born, each of us comes in with a purpose. And, you know, if you think of your purpose like a recipe, a carrot cake, right? You come into this world, I am here, I am going to make a carrot cake. And your astrological nature, which can be derived by your natal chart and your sun sign or zodiac sign, is just one of the ingredients in that cake. Now, it's a bit of a bigger ingredient, right? And so in carrot cake, you know, flour is going to be a large ingredient, right? And so Cancer for you, Adrian, would be the flour in your carrot cake, but it's not the only ingredient. And there isn't a single formulation by which you can make carrot cake, because there's vegan carrot cake, there's regular carrot cake, you know, there's carrot cake with cinnamon in it or with cream cheese icing, right? There's many formulations in order to make the same thing. And so your zodiac sign is just the main ingredient. But that being said, your zodiac sign, so in your case, Adrian, which is Cancer, it gives you gifts as well as challenges that you are here to work with. And so very often the gifts and challenges are kind of married together. So for example, Adrian, Cancers tend to be very empathic. And so they're very in tune with the space that they're in and the people that are in the room. I know you work with etiquette, right? And in all honesty, part of etiquette is just having that ability to read the room. And so that empathy that you have, you know, has been part of your power and how you pursued an aspect of your purpose. But also at the same time, Adrian, if I put you next to someone who's in a really negative state, that also impacts you as well. And so by, you know, like, let's say you meet them at an event or what have you, and you just can't escape this person. Well, when that event is done, Adrian, I know what you're going to do. You're going to go home and you're going to want silence, and you'll probably draw a bath for yourself or, you know, pull out a book or find some way to go into that introspective space as you try to purify yourself from what you picked up from that person.
I mean, it's so true. It's so funny that we do things without even thinking about it. For years, I thought, oh, I'm an extrovert. Oh, I love going around. But then all of a sudden it hit me. I'm really not. I'm an extrovert with an introvert because of that, because I need to break away. All right. So I have a couple of questions, but I'm going to go deep into this one. I hope you don't get mad at me.
I do a
true crime, Debate the News True Crime. We have a podcast. And, you know, I think about it and all the deep and research that we do with these monsters that are out there. I never hear like, oh, they were born in this, or though they're a Gemini. Pick on the Gemini side. Oh, they're a Gemini. And that's, you know, but then I'm thinking, my gosh, what if there was a little research? What if, like, could it be? Because if we were born with our purpose, what kind of purpose would you have to harm another person and to actually steal someone's life? And so where does that fit in? Is there anything that would, oh, I can't wait. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Take it. Okay. Let me breathe. Let me breathe. Let me breathe.
So there's so many levels to this question, because, you know, especially because you do that true crime podcast, you kind of see some of the worst things of human nature, right? So I want you to think of yourself as a projector, And the light source is your astrology. The lens is what we call your personality. So there's a difference between your chart, your astrology, which is the innate qualities in your personal light, versus your personality, which is actually a learned coping mechanism. And so your life experiences and the things that exist within your subconscious, which is just a repository of unfelt and unexpressed emotions, right? That can warp the expression of that light. And so we have choices. Now, I mean, in cases like that, those are highly damaged people. And so that lens is very distorted. And so that light, if it's shining through at all, right? Maybe you get like little glimmers that come through the lens. If it's shining at all, it's shining extremely distorted. But the beautiful thing about astrology and you know, and all the other pieces of my personal work, you know, doing healing work and understanding your chart to a deeper degree, meditation, prayer, all these things, that's cleaning the lens. And when you clean the lens and when your personal light shines through, that's when you have more joy. That's when you have more success, more love, more kind reciprocal relationships, abundance in every sense of the word, because everyone is meant to shine.
I love what you said. Okay. So you can be damaged, but that doesn't mean what you start. Oh, God, that really does answer a lot of questions in my mind, because I'm always like, wait, do you start as like the bad seed, like the movie, or do you become like with Ed Gein, the story of him? You know, I believe it was his mother, and that's where it came from. But wow, that is fascinating. Okay, let's move on from the true crime. What about the idea of like, oh, okay, I'm a Cancer. I'm single, which I'm not, but like, okay, if I was single, do I really take and believe like, okay, so I would be good with, and the why behind that, what does that look like?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, this is where I think marketing has done a really great job on some things, because is there a little bit of truth to, you know, I'm a Cancer, do I work with a Leo or a Scorpio or that kind of thing? Is there a little bit of truth to that? Yes, but that's the surface of a much deeper process or form of reading that we call synastry. And so in relationship,
like sinister? Is that sinister with a
synastry. So if you think of like symbiotic, except it's synastry, and so synastry actually compares the charts of two people in a relationship. And so, you know, of course I've done this for personal relationships and marriages and that kind of thing. I've also done it actually for business partners as well, because you need to see and understand how the flow and the dynamic works between the two people. You know, especially if you're really trying to anchor a really large business, because the two of you have to support that weight. And same goes for a marriage, to support the weight of your life, right? Because there's still bills to pay. There's kids, there's family, right? You have your jobs outside of that. And so you have this foundation that you have to uphold as a couple. And so in synastry, what we do is we look at the masculine and feminine principles inside, and how they relate between the two partners, and find the harmonious aspects. Because a Cancer and a Scorpio could have an amazing, synastry reading, and they could get along incredibly well. But it could also turn out that the masculine and feminine principles within the two of them are not in agreement either. And so to go just based on your zodiac sign is really surface level. And it's almost like saying, two people who work in healthcare should make for a great marriage. And it's like, well, not necessarily. Maybe, maybe not. And so if you only go based on that surface level, it can actually be misleading. And so like I look at my relationship and so I'm a Gemini and my partner is a Taurus. And so if you go based on the surface, it doesn't work out well, but our synastry is amazing. And so sometimes you just need to look deeper for the more nuanced aspects, because it's not necessarily about the overall structure of the personality. It's about how are those masculine and feminine principles between the two of you working together? Are they in cohesion? Do they have differing viewpoints, values that need to be maybe not adjusted, but you know, is there some negotiation that's necessary? Is there understanding that's necessary? You know, also in this industry, we look at your communication methods. We look at your emotional natures. And sometimes, you know, if one partner is amazing at communication and the other is just horrible, well, that's something that could break a relationship. But if you begin to understand how each other works, there's a lot of conflict or needless conflict that can be avoided through that mutual understanding.
Wow. Welcome, Diana. We're talking now to Alexandra. She's an astrologer royale, right? Is that the...
Yeah.
Oh, okay. This is so fascinating to me. All right. So when you're looking and you're looking about working together and you're looking at the astrology, is there also a test that's involved, or there's like a personality test, or the answering questions? What does that look like?
Yeah. So when I do synastry, for example, there's no personality tests involved or anything like that. All I need is the birth information of the two people. And so their date of birth, their time of birth, and their birth location. And, you know, I mean, it's ideal if I have all three. Sometimes if I don't have the time, I can kind of play around a little bit. But it's best when I have all three pieces of information, because that gives me all the information that I need to really sync up those charts and understand how their energy is resonating with each other. Where are they meeting? Where are they connecting? And you know, where are they missing the mark? Where you know, where are they not resonating or not understanding or encountering blind spots with each other?
Okay, so we're going to play a game. I'm 5 years old, and you're going to explain this to me in a way that a five-year-old would understand. Would that be something that you could do to help me to really understand? Yay, yay! Okay, sorry, the five-year-old of me. Okay, take it away. I really, really want to hear this and understand more.
So would you like me to explain your natal chart to you as a five-year-old, or yeah?
I think so, yes.
Okay, all right. Well, as an aside, I started studying astrology at 6 years old. So.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Wait, before we continue, tell me the backstory of that one. What was your parents? What? A neighbor?
So my grandfather was an amateur astrologer. And where my grandparents lived, it was a swampy area. So like playing outside was not always the best thing to do. And I was a total bookworm anyways. And so I would actually go and steal my grandfather's astrology books and hermit myself in the spare room. And I would just read, because I would read about Hermes and Ares and Aphrodite and Athena and these Greek gods and goddesses. And they were very real to me as a child. And so because I really loved their stories, I kept reading more and more about astrology because I was curious about who I was.
Wow. Okay. Oh my gosh. That is awesome. That really is so interesting how you start. Okay. Okay. So yes, I want to know more.
All right. Well, little five-year-old Adrian, when you were born into this world, you came in with a number of gifts and talents and areas of wisdom. And here you are about to embark on your life. And you're in one of the best times because you get to play and learn and grow and experience yourself. And when you look at your astrology chart, you get to understand some of those gifts. And it opens you up to new experiences.
You're making me cry. I'm sorry. Oh. I have an emotion of crying. I'm so sorry. Please continue. No, I just have to see my face. There's something so beautiful in this. Okay.
Tears going, please. Have a heart. So it's a little 5-year-old Adrian. When you look at your chart, it opens you up to all the possibilities and potential within you. Because you are not just one thing, little Adrian. In you is a mother. In you is a healer. In you is an intuitive wise woman. In you might be a hero. In you might be a builder. There's so many things within you. And when you explore your astrological chart and you understand the goodness that you are, then all the negative thoughts that you might encounter about yourself as you grow up won't matter so much because you will see and know your own light.
Oh my gosh. I mean, if I was 5 years old, I think that feels like that would be a memory of someone sharing that with me for the rest of my life. That could be the catapult. Wow. Wow. I got chills. That was so beautifully said. Oh, okay. Let me just breathe for a second. This is fascinating information. Okay. Where does this all come from? Like, how is it that you just need to know my birthday and then you need to know the time I come in? And how many people actually do know that information I'm just curious.
Honestly, it depends on how old they are, to be truthful. So people who were born after 1975, when a lot of countries mandated the recording of birth time, like the time of birth, most of them know it, you know, if it's usually listed on their birth certificate, or they can call the hospital and find their records. Usually people before 1975, I don't get as many people who book in with me, and it tends to be a little more frequent that they don't know their time of birth. And I have had the rare person who doesn't even know their birth date, because in some countries, you know, and I can take my father as an example, you know, so his birth date was, you know, October 30th, but that's not his actual birth date. That was the date that my grandfather walked to the hospital and reported that his son was born. So there are people in countries who don't even know their actual birth date.
Wow, that's fascinating. How can you work with someone if they don't have that information on the time of their birth? What does that look like?
Well, in instances like that, I have other readings that I can work with, but those are in-person readings that are a little more on the spiritual side and actually involve channeling that information in. And so those are available to people who are in that unfortunate circumstance that they don't even know when they were born. And in certain countries, everybody has the same birthday. I'm trying to remember... I had a client in Africa. I'm trying to remember which country he was in. But everybody's birthday is listed as the same day. I think it's like January 1st of whatever year. So everyone who's born has the same birthday, January 1st.
That's interesting. I have to look that up. That is so interesting. Welcome to the room, Nuala. Nuala, say hello to Alexandra. We're talking. Well, just say hello first.
Hi, gorgeous. How are you guys?
Oh, hi, Nuala. How are you?
I know. I always love Friday. So I'm glad I found this room as well. Anything that Adrian's involved in is going to be magical. So I'm so glad she brought you in.
Oh, thank you.
I didn't even know. I don't know who the guests are, Nuala. So when I heard, I was like, oh, this is amazing. And I did ask the question regarding the monsters out there doing the true crime, like what that looks like. So that is, this recording is actually going to be a podcast and then turn into a book. But Nuala is so fascinating. And I wonder, Nuala, would you mind sharing what sign you are?
I'm Sagittarius. And I was, I know the time of my birth because my mom told me it. And for some reason, I've always remembered it. But I wanted to ask, how important is the time?
Yeah. So the time is important because what it does is it determines where the eastern horizon was pointing. And so in astrology, we call that the ascendant. And the ascendant is the sign of the soul, and it helps indicate part of your purpose. And it also tells you about what you're growing into. Because within every one of us, there are many archetypes. And so our sun sign is one of them. But the ascendant tells us about the archetype that we're growing into. And it may be the same as your zodiac sign, but it might be different. And that's where the birth time comes in. You know, so for example, people who are born close to sunrise very often have the same rising sign as their sun sign. But if you're born at any other time, say in the middle of the night or close to sunset, you're going to have a different archetype that you are growing into and working with. And so, you know, giving the example of Cancer, well, you know, if I was to go back and look at some of the ancient goddesses, I would say that Cancer is very reminiscent of Selene, who is one of the moon goddesses. Or Corydwen, or Danu. Danu in the Celtic tribes was the mother of the gods. And so in tutelary statues, you would see her nursing the gods at her breast. And Cancer is this loving mother energy. But let's say that your rising sign was Sagittarius. You know, we'll work with Nuala's rising sign. Well, then you have that archetype of the teacher that you are growing into. And the visionary and the intuitive.
I'm going to faint. I'm sorry. That is Nuala. Oh my God. Can we continue? I'm like in shock. Hold on. I just need to breathe for a second. That is Nuala, right? Do you offer I don't want to call it a reading, but if Nuala was to give you your, and if Nuala, if you don't want it to be out, I could put it in the chat. If you want to put it in the chat and chatter, I could throw in the chat here, a private chat for, are you able to give Nuala some more information? Because Nuala is very, first of all, Nuala, I just want to say is someone that I love, I admire every time, you know, we're here just to give you again an idea. So Nuala is right there and Diana's in the audience. And every time Nuala unmics, or comes on camera, I'm like, oh my gosh, just a woman. And she teaches the seventh Y. So and how can we do something with Nuala so that I can have a little fun?
We just need her birth.
Nuala, is that okay? Nuala, is that okay?
Yes, of course. You want my birthday?
Yes, please.
Okay, it's November 27, 1960. And I was born about, I think it was 10:45 in the morning.
Perfect. I'm just entering this right now. So 10:45 a.m. Where were you born, Nuala?
Scotland.
Oh, where in Scotland?
Glasgow.
Glasgow. Okay.
The second city. Edinburgh is the capital, but Glasgow is the cool one.
I would love to go to Scotland one day. It's on my list. Yes. Okay. So Nuala, your rising sign is actually different. So it's Capricorn. And so it's kind of interesting because Sagittarius has this teaching aspect to it, but it's also this very free spirit, travel, philosopher. But that Capricorn rising also tells me that you are growing into an archetype who is deeply wise, more still on the internal plane, but also a master strategist and manifester. And this is something, because it's your ascendant, this is something that you are in the act of acquiring. It's something that you are growing into. And so a lot of life's challenges in it, and I'm gathering that if you reflected on the past, a lot of life's challenges often involved going into that internal plane and finding your own wisdom and how to ground and create stability for all of that aspirational energy that you have come in with, you know, especially because you have your son in the 11th house. And so you really love being able to share and be part of the act of teaching and spreading of information. And so one of the biggest challenges and the thing that you were growing into is how to create the right foundation so that you can disseminate that information to others in a repeatable way. Because you're not the wandering philosopher. You are the repeatable philosopher that many can access.
That's amazing. Yes, I did. In my younger days, I was a dancer, and that's what got me around the world. Then I went into journalism because I'm nosy.
You wanted to find deeper answers. It's the philosopher in you searching.
Exactly, and I always wanted to be the first with the news. And then for a long time, I was a lecturer in journalism. But when you're talking about, you know, adventure and kind of switching the perspective, I do that a lot. And recently I actually have become a celebrant, and I'm a kind of outside the box celebrant. I tell people it's okay to break the chains of tradition and do it your way kind of a thing. So that really resonated with me. And I've also manifested money out of midair 3 times this year, and I can't believe it. I questioned something on my bank last year, this year, and I said, why am I paying this? And she said, oh, it's such and such. So I contacted the company, and I said, I may have signed up for this a long time ago and forgot to unsubscribe, but you've been taking this out of my bank from the past couple of months. And they came back and said, we've been taking it out of your bank for the past 3 years, actually, and we see we haven't used the app, so here's all the money back. and that's happened twice since, where I've questioned something, and without them saying, oh, you have to go and find this and tell me all the addresses you've lived in for the past 64 years, they just came back and went, here's lots of money. And it's just amazing. So that manifesting really came to me, because I've only been listening to people about manifesting and thinking that's bonkers and baloney, and then all of a sudden it came to me, and I'm going, wowie. And you, now meeting you, with I probably manifested coming in here. It's just amazing. So thank you so much. I can feel that you're a visionary yourself.
Well
so you are, right? Yeah.
My moon and rising are Sagittarius, so.
Oh, sisters.
Yes.
So, Nuala, you teach. Can you share the room that you do? And your seventh?
That came out of nowhere. I read this thing. It was a sentence about seven whys. Because I was hearing about Simon Sinek's book, You Have to Start With Your Why, to know. You know, it's not enough to know what you're doing. You need to know why to get greater motivation and all that. And I thought, well, everybody's going to say, oh, because I want to make money, or, oh, because I'm doing it for the kids. And I started thinking, it must be something deeper. So I had this room, and it was, I read about this, you have to go seven levels deep to really get out of your head and into your heart and find out what your real motivation is. And I thought, I think I'll do a room on that and ask people, you know, what do you want? Why do you want it? And pick someone and put them in I call it the comfy chair, not the hot seat. And I thought it was a one-off room. After that, I wasn't allowed not to do it. So people were saying, you can't just do one room. You've got to do another one. And the revelations that people have had in that room have been amazing. So I do it now every week. But it was just some silly idea that I had, and it's turned into, you know, One time I couldn't actually start the room and I got so many messages. I'm looking for your room, I'm looking for your... So it's just amazing that even just that on Chatter, actually. So that's what I'm doing. Mm-hmm.
When Alexandra was sharing about you, and then I kept thinking, oh my gosh, you couldn't be more with a nail on the head as that. And Alexandra, you should look at Chatter Social. I don't think we have anyone that's doing astrology and really teaching what you're teaching. And you can come on, the app is free. So you can download it. You download it off your Android or your iPhone. And then you come in and you set up your profile and kind of like feel around for the app. But yeah, you could create rooms. You create a group. You could call it Astrologer Royale. And then you just start to meet people and create these rooms. Right, Nuala? I think it's fascinating.
Oh, I think people would flood to rooms like that because we all pretend we're not woo-woo, the ones that pretend we're not woo-woo. But when we have experiences like this, we secretly are woo-woo. So I think people would really come to a room like that. I'm just wondering, do you have a link, Adrienne, that you can put up for people?
Oh, yes, I will. I will send it to Alexandra so she has the... Oh, you know what? You're right. I'm going to... Nuala, you're so brilliant. Okay. Thank you. I'm going to put it in the comment. Just so other people can have it too.
I think people would love that because also, but, you know, a lot of people are getting that we don't want to just read our, you know, astrology in the newspaper or have a tarot card reading us. A lot of us want to know, well, what do these cards mean? And what does that mean? What does the rising mean? And we want to go deeper. So someone like you doing what you do, and in the way you do, because you have a beautiful, beautiful face. It's so, you're so welcoming and your voice is quite intoxicating. I think people would love it.
Nuala just took the words out of my mouth.
Thank you. That's quite the compliment. I really, really appreciate that.
Nuala just literally is so 100% right. I have a question. So why is it like when you go to a store and you go to like buy a book, let's say, and I'm like, where's all the Cancer books? Like, why is there always more Aries books? Like, is it because more people are born during that month? I get confused. Or more people that are Aries want the books and more Cancer people don't? Like, what is it that you have more books available? Like, I would think they would print up the same amount for every sign. So how does that happen?
Well, I mean, okay, there's a couple things to it. Of course, there is definitely a curve in terms of births. And so late summer births, so your Virgos and Leos tend to be the highest in number. You know, so basically from late spring to the end of summer, those are your most numerous zodiac signs. Although on occasion when cities win like a playoff series or whatever, they often experience spikes in the birth 9 months later. I'm here in Toronto. And so if they win the World Series in baseball in 9 months, you know, there's going to be more children around. Aside from those periodic spikes, generally the curve is that more children are born in the late spring all the way to the end of summer. And so part of it is that, yes, you know, there are certain signs that do tend to be a little more numerous in the population. But then there's also certain signs are more oriented to seek answers about themselves versus others.
That's what I was wondering.
So you gave the example of Aries. And Aries is the most extroverted of signs. And actually, one of its lessons is to cultivate more introspection because Aries is a figure it out kind of sign. And this, you know, of course, that's not all Aries necessarily, right? If they have a lot of watery or earthy influence in their chart, they will ruminate and self-reflect. But if you take someone who is the absolute stereotypical Aries, they are all energy, all initiative, because initiative And getting the wheels of motion started is literally what Aries is about, because it's the first sign. And so it's that overwhelming energy that overcomes inertia. So sitting still and thinking about something, it's not necessarily their nature. They'll figure it out as they go. And so, yes, certain signs are a little more prone to or predisposed to reflect and to try to understand their own nature, whereas other signs are more oriented in terms of wanting to understand the world through experience.
You know, Nuala, that's an amazing answer. I have been wondering, it is crazy with Debbie. I'm going to go back to Debbie. And then Debbie, the more Debbie speaks, I'm like, boy, we're so much alike. Like, I kind of align with everything with Debbie. And then one day it was like, you know, when you're born and, oh, I'm a Cancer. And it's like, wow. And that does really happen, right? In life, you meet someone and you start talking and you're like, and then you find like that oh, that's exactly it. Or sometimes it's like they're a Gemini, but they're on, like, I'm June 28th, but they're like right on that cusp. So like, I'm like, oh, I don't feel like you're more of a Cancer than a Gemini. But now you kind of explain that too. Yeah. And that understanding of the birth, which I really, that is great. All right. Next question. So last night, my daughter and I, for some reason, this is weird. This is like, because I definitely believe in like the spirituals and the guidance. And I do listen to meditation at night. And yes, I actually manifested a new client because I'm like, I really need it. Yep, exactly. I mean, a little work on my part. So I said to Alana, my daughter likes to change her bedroom up a lot. And I'm like, you know what, honey, for some reason, it literally came into my head. I'm like, you should double check what like your bed is facing. I'm like, let me pull it up. And then I went in her room and I'm like, I don't think you're going to be happy. You had the bed facing like north, and you had it facing north, and you only stayed in it for like 3 or 4 nights, and you seem to move it quickly. Now you're changing the location, but you would still be north. I don't think you should do that. I think you should be facing, like, I know so better, but I'm like, you should face east. And is that anything to do with astrology or anything that we're talking about?
So technically not, but I am familiar with those principles from Feng Shui. And so that's not my area of expertise by any means. But yeah, I mean, there are placements in a room that affect how you sleep. You know, I know, for example, I have a friend who's very particular about her love corner. And unfortunately, her love corner is in her bathroom. And so her bathroom is decorated with pink and rose quartz and pink onyx and, you know, and all of these love crystals, because she wants to bring love into her life. And so astrology is more so about coming to understand yourself and your own nature. And so, for example, you know, going back to love and relationships, I could tell you, you know, what are the qualities that you might want to look for in a potential partner? I could also indicate times that would be auspicious to meet that person, potentially even where or how. But not so much in terms of like the placement of your bed, but even still, there are other arts for that, because I mean, energy is everything.
Energy in the moon is the moon is
definitely the moon, part the ocean. Of astrology. The moon is definitely part of astrology.
And do people get confused, like with the holiday season, with Halloween? You know, we obviously psychic, and you know, and spiritual, and you know, I love the whole thing. But does astrology fall into that during like this holiday season?
Oh my gosh. Well, actually I have to post it, but I literally wrote an article about Halloween's ties into astrology, because Halloween happens during Scorpio season. And if you go back to the oldest traditions of Halloween, or Samhain, as it was called, Samhain is year's end. And so it was actually the new year in Celtic traditions. And Scorpio is one of the signs of death and rebirth. And that's what the new year is. It is the death of an old year and the rebirth of a new. And so Halloween, or Samhain, was the first day of winter, which was what they considered to be the beginning of a new year. Now, what's also interesting, you know, coming back to spirits and the spiritual and that kind of thing, in those old Celtic traditions, during Samhain, they had what was called what they called the veil, and so the veil was what stopped us from seeing the world of spirits. But the veil is thinner during Halloween. And that's why we're more likely to see ghosts and goblins and ghouls and that kind of thing. That's, you know, that's why it feels like you're being watched, right? and so the practice of dressing up for Halloween was there was a theory behind it, you could say. And the theory was, if I look like one of the ghosts, the goblins, or the ghouls, they're going to leave me alone. And so this is where dressing in costume actually came from. They were hoping that if they dressed up as a ghost or a goblin or a ghoul, that the other spirits would leave them alone.
Wow. Oh my gosh,
This should definitely be your next book, The Wild Behind the Woo-Woo. That's what you can call it.
and the other thing about Halloween that I almost forgot to mention here was that it was also a time of honoring those who have passed. And so it was believed that everyone who had passed, you know, in the previous year, they all passed through the veil together. And so it was also a time of honoring your ancestors. That was the original practice of Samhain or Halloween.
Wow. Okay. So I hold on. That was incredible. And then my brain is going, okay, Adrian, you got to release this on October 31st. You got to get Alexandra, I need your article because I want to share that. That is incredible. Nuala, I want to pass the mic to you. Is there any questions that you have?
No, I'm just fascinated. But again, Adrian, you just said, wow. I think this Wild Behind the Woo-Woo is definitely something you should be thinking about. But this is exactly what people will absolutely eat up and have dessert on. We want to know all of this stuff. Why this? Why that? Why do we do this? And I didn't know that either about that's why people get dressed up.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
And that the veil gets thinner. Wow. Well, you know what I'm going to do? Right after this, I'm running to my daughter's room to be like, oh my gosh. Like, it's so funny because I just never know who's coming on. And I don't want to change the way I do this show. But I feel like, if I knew, I would have been so excited. But no, this is amazing. Okay. We're already going on to over 50 minutes. What have I not asked you that you wish I did or that you would like to share?
Oh my goodness. Well, I think perhaps I just have a message, if that's okay.
Okay.
Most people in this world harbor a lot of self-doubt, guilt, negative impressions about themselves that really come from not answering the very first question you asked me. Who am I? And the work that I do is to help people understand themselves, because whatever you believe to be your biggest failing, the source of your greatest shame, very often is a gift that you don't understand yet. And because you don't understand it and you haven't supported it properly, it can't yield positive fruits yet, or at least not consistently. And so astrology is this powerful tool that you can use to heal yourself through answering that question, who am I? Because as it opens up these opportunities and understanding of the different archetypes within you, there is healing, there is joy, there is purpose, there is good relationships, there are strengths, talents, skills, areas of wisdom that you never knew and never discovered, because perhaps you were only living through one archetype. And so I always encourage people to study your chart, to get to know all that there is to know about you, because you know just one part of you. And there is so much more to who you are. And there's a lot of joy that comes from that self-discovery.
I just want to echo what Nuala said. You are absolutely beautiful. I could listen to you for hours, and you just are giving that. I got to have to come back and rewatch this too. This has been incredible. Thank you for coming in, Shadow Fox. This has been an incredible hour. I really thank you so much for your time. How can people work with you?
Oh my gosh. Well, you can go to my website, astrologerroyale.com. And from there, I have programs that you can work with, or you can do individualized readings, and you can just drop me a message through my website, and we can get in contact. And I would be honored to serve absolutely anyone who's listening to this.
And I will repeat that we would love to have you on Chatter Social. Please give it a try. You can, if you don't love it, then that's fine. But at least give it a try. Come into a couple of rooms. Introduce yourself. I think that you have a group, you start a room. We will flood in because I think many of us are really interested in what you have to say and learn. Oh, and there's something called Rockets, or you can put up your Cash App, so for payment, not like that's expected. There's nothing wrong with doing that. That's not awkward. Or they do have a Rocket set up. So I don't know what to say. I cannot wait to release this episode. And I cannot wait to see what it's going to look like in the chapter of the book. I'm so excited. I'm thinking of keeping the same cover design because it's still under the same umbrella, but changing the color to like maybe a green or something. And then I'm just thinking of that. But wow. All right. I'm going to put your website in the show notes. And then and my daughter's helping me too. So it's so nice. I get her to do the production. But did you say you have a podcast?
No, actually, I don't have a podcast, but I've had a number of people tell me I should.
I can help you if you need help. It's easy. It's not hard. I'll give you the simplest way to do it, and you'll just do it yourself. It's not difficult at all, but it's a great way to bring in other people. So, but thank you, Nuala, for being here. Shadow Fox, thank you for being in the audience. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
This is great. So actually I am, this is, so this right here, we're in the group called Podcast Connection Lounge. And so I'm running it through the Podcast Connection Lounge, where we do talk about podcasting. And there's a lot of great podcasters here on the app that give some amazing advice and share and teach and all that good stuff. So it's I think the reason, I'm going to speak for you for a minute, Nuala, but on Mike, if I'm wrong, I think part of why it's like a microcosm. Of like the real world. So if you take 100 people in a room, you've got like all different kinds of characters, and some people are losing control and screaming and get passionate and get upset. Some people are quiet. Some people cry like I do, like all kinds of real life conversations, but we're all real people with a heart. Met many of the people, you could see them on camera. And so it's quite unique. It's not really a social media platform. It's more of a streaming platform, but it's so unique. And so I would love to have you come into this community just to see, you'll find us all in different rooms, but it definitely also a lot of times just keeps me entertained, right, Nuala? So Nuala stepped in the room, kind of like, who's Adrian talking to? And I think Nuala's been entertained for the last maybe 35, 40 minutes, right, Nuala?
Absolutely. And we're all also very supportive of everyone else's rooms. So, as long as we know that you've got a room going, we'll jump in. And definitely, there's so many different people from across the world that any time zone will do.
That is so true. It's 24/7. And who knows, maybe 2 years from now, you'll be in Glasgow meeting Nuala as she gives you a tour of Scotland, which is on your...
I would love it. Isn't that crazy? Oh my gosh. Scotland is so magical. One of these days.
There's so many haunted castles and hidden little places and hidden lanes. And yeah, I'll take you to the hidden Scotland. You'll love it.
And Alexandra, we're going to go together. It's amazing. This has been I don't even know what to say. And how does an hour go by in 5 minutes? It's confusing to me. But thank you so, so much, Alexandra. I'm going to stop the stream. Thank you for, you are just so lovely. And thank you, everyone, for listening, watching. I really appreciate it. This is amazing. Find out the day. And I think that we do have to. I wish my mom or dad was alive to say, like, what time, and, like, really take it seriously and really write it down. So if you don't know the time of your birth and your parents are still alive, ask them if they know the time. I think that's important. Get on the website. And thank you so much. I'm going to end the stream. What a great conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Wow.
Amazing.